Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. This week, we're continuing our interviews with my team members from Splendor Magazine with our Deborah Woman writer, Hannah Priest. Hannah opens up in a very vulnerable way, but she and I both pray that this will be an encouragement to those who may relate to her testimony. That being said, this episode may be a little triggering for those who have issues in relation to how they view their bodies and their treatment of it. This is a part of Hannah's testimony, and she doesn't shy away from her past because of the beautiful freedom she found in Christ as she began to learn more about who she is in Him and how God created her to be. We hope you will find her testimony to be a help to those who are going through the same journey. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dressed in Splendor. Today, I have Splendor Magazine's Deborah Woman, Hannah Priest, on the show. Hannah's role in our magazine is to interview powerhouse women from different fields to share their testimonies as an encouragement for those who read it. Although she interviews powerhouse women, Hannah doesn't just sit on the sidelines. I would consider Hannah to be like a Deborah woman herself, actually. I could share a lot of the reasons why I believe this to be true, but I'll let her share more about herself in the next few minutes, and you'll see why Hannah is a rock star. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I hope you're okay that I just gave you a lot of praise right there. So
I'm blushing.
All right. Well, before we begin our conversation, Hannah, could you just share a little bit more about yourself for those who don't know you?
For sure. Yeah. So first and foremost, I like telling people that I am a follower of Jesus. That is where my identity is. That's where I'm rooted. I'm also a wife. I am a daughter and a friend. I'm a storyteller, a people lover, and very important to add, I'm also a big coffee enthusiast. So, and then outside of my work with Splendor, I also serve as the Associate Director of Alumni Relations at Olivet Nazarene University, which is where I got my undergraduate and master's degree from.
Very cool. And actually, how Hannah and I met was through a mutual friend. And so I'm very thankful to have that connection. And, she, you know, speaking of coffee enthusiasts, she's very well versed on the coffee shops here in Peoria. So and
I am indeed.
Yeah. What's your before we move on, I'm just curious, what's your favorite coffee shop, whether it's in Chicago, Peoria, or anywhere else in the world?
Oh my goodness. I would have to say that my favorite coffee shop is, I mean, Zion in Peoria is pretty up there. I think that's probably one of the top ones, but I also have to give a lot of credit to my favorite coffee shop that I worked at actually for 5 years back home. The Owl, morning till night. I worked there for about 5 years. So I am just
so the dog lapping water in the background.
She's scratching in her playpen, so if you can hear her in the background, I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. It's okay. We'll enjoy that as we continue on. So, is that located in Chicago? Since you were in school there,
It's actually located in Milan, Michigan, which is about 4 hours from where I went to school. So. Oh, Jonah and I actually met at that coffee shop, which that's just a whole story in and of itself. Wow. But yeah.
You know what? Maybe we'll have to have you on the show and just talk about that testimony.
All things coffee and all things love and relationships, you know?
Heck yeah. Who says you only have to be on the show one time?
Absolutely.
So how did you first come to learn about Jesus? When did you consciously, I guess, make the decision to accept Him as your Savior?
I mean, now going from the lighthearted to the more serious conversation about your new life testimony.
Hey, I like getting deep.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Brittany said on her episode, my testimony and my faith walk is not just defined by this one like aha moment. Mm. It's kind of a series of moments. So just to kind of give you some background, I grew up in a nuclear Christian family. I have two parents and two younger sisters. And for the most part, you know, we went to church every Sunday, and I feel like we were raised with really good morals. Jesus was kind of always a part of my life, so to speak. Like, I went to Sunday school. I knew the answers to the questions when the teacher would ask. Yeah. I could recite Bible verses. I knew the Bible stories. And at the time, if you would have asked me, I of course would have said that I love Jesus with all of my heart and believe that he was my Lord and Savior. But I don't think that I truly understood what having a relationship with him looked like. Mm. And what that kind of meant in its entirety. So my entire life, I would say, from the time that I was, oh gosh, probably like middle school area. Until even to this day, I've kind of struggled with comparison and the idea of fitting in and wanting to belong. I think that for a lot of girls, that's just kind of something that we have to deal with. I think that the media and culture kind of in our society does a good job of kind of planting those little seeds of sin. But this really started to become apparent in my life in middle school. A lot of the boys in my class would pick on me for not being short and thinner like the other girls. At the time, I was also taller than all of them. Like, I was 5'7" by the time that I hit seventh grade. Mm. And I played volleyball, and I was that church going goody two shoes. And so I think I just began to seek out the approval of others because so many people had made comments about how I was sticking out, which looking back at it, I think that, you know, the joy and the light of the Lord was kind of radiating through me and people could start to notice that. But when you're in middle school, like people will find any excuse to call out those differences, you know? And so in that time I started to develop body dysmorphia. And I didn't understand that, you know, Hannah's created in the image of God. Hannah is beautiful. I was trying to change so much, and I would have much rather have been petite and smaller so that I could fit in. And, you know, there was a lot of opportunities for me to make some, like, not great decisions and, you know, people inviting you to go to parties and to do other things that you probably shouldn't. And I turned those down. Like, I still made some solid decisions because of my faith, and I stood firm in those, but it didn't stop me from being worried about what other people thought of me after the fact and after I said no to those opportunities. So then come high school, you know, I had flirted. I dated boys because I thought they liked me. I changed up my style and started to pile on makeup because I wanted to feel beautiful. I had a relationship with my parents or from my parents for about 8 months or so, and that broke a lot of trust. I started to work out to lose weight and be thin, and then I skipped meals and so on. And I felt like it was kind of like this never-ending cycle of comparing myself and seeking affirmation from everybody except for Jesus. My sophomore year, I think, was kind of when things really started to get bad. You know, I lost my grandpa and my youth pastor to cancer within about 2 months of each other. And I had never in my life experienced death before and loss in such a way, like you're losing two very important people very close to your heart. And I didn't know how to handle that. I didn't know how to handle the grief and then kind of the hole that they left in my heart.
Yeah.
And so I started to fear loss. I didn't understand that, you know, because they believed in Jesus, like they have a future home, they have a place with Jesus. And I started to fear, like, okay, what happens if I start losing everybody? Like, what happens if I'm left all alone? And so I kind of, because I couldn't cope, I kind of started to spiral into this depression, and self-harm kind of entered into the story. And, you know, all of these things that I was doing along the way, the comparison, the everything, it was all to fill, like, that God-sized hole in my heart. And I think I started to realize my junior year of high school, my senior year, I needed to kind of change the way that I was thinking. And so my focus, I didn't want it to be outward anymore. I wanted it to be inward and who God was saying that I was. And so I had always heard the phrase, you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I realized that I needed that strength in order to kind of pick myself up from those situations and that mindset that I had been in for so long. And this is when I began to do things. I kind of coined the term counting your simple joys, which nowadays you look around and see people talking about the simple pleasures in life and simple joys. But this was something that starting my junior year, I started doing every day and starting it as a practice where, you know, no matter what the day held, whether it was a great day and there's a lot of things that I could be grateful for or a really bad day, I would count those three things in my day that the Lord had blessed me with. So a lot of days it would be coffee because
of course.
That's kind of what I started to, pick up on the habit of drinking coffee every day. But like more than coffee, it would be going to coffee with somebody or, you know, maybe the sun was just shining extra bright that day or something like that. And kind of just like coining that habit, the habit of gratitude and the attitude of gratitude into my everyday kind of changed the way that I was thinking. And it encouraged me to seek after that deeper relationship with the one that has blessed me immeasurably more than I could ask or imagine.
That's amazing. I mean, what a hard journey you've gone through. And I feel like, unfortunately, there's so many other young women that are going through that same experience that you've gone through with the comparison, especially, and with social media being so horrible and bullying being able to be not just in person, but cyber as well. And I keep thinking about how now that I'm older, and I'm sure maybe you're thinking this too, or have thought this, is like in those moments where people are teasing or bullying you, like part of it is could be definitely the light of Jesus that they saw in you, and the world's going to hate you. They're going to bring you down. Mm-hmm. But I also think that we're all broken people, especially those who don't believe in Jesus or, you know, for their source of joy. And especially as young people, we don't know how to really like comprehend where that joy comes from. You know, we're all like children when we first come to know Jesus. And it's, I just think like the brokenness of these people that they must have felt to just comment on your height and everything is so ridiculous and how it went down that path. And I'm just thankful for you, for the Lord to have been able to like grow you in that. And I love the count your joys in the everyday, like the three things that you find and everything like that. Do you find that those really did just help you to, even in your like hardest moments, that you did find that joy as your strength? Like you did touch on that, but do you really think like that actually could also benefit other people?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the word joy, and I'll tell anybody this, the word joy is one of my favorite words ever because joy is so much deeper than happiness. Mm-hmm. I think whenever we associate the word joy, we kind of think of it as synonymous with happiness. Right. And that's not how I think about it at all. I think that joy, being rooted in Christ and having his joy in your heart, means that, you know, anything could be going on in your life, but at the end of the day, God is still good.
Yeah.
And his goodness is going to be more satisfying than anything else that we could have. I actually listened to a song recently by Upper Room, and it kind of talks about this, this idea of all of these things that I thought that I wanted, and nothing compares to who he is and to his relationship and loving him. Like I could have gold and silver, and now that I've tasted of his goodness, nothing else is going to satisfy. And it's, that song's been on repeat for me for the last couple weeks for me. It's called Give Me Jesus by Upper Room.
Yeah.
And I think that for other people looking to find like the joy of the Lord as their strength is, it's more than tangible. And I think too, I'm reminded of a verse in James where it talks about, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kind, because, you know, the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And so I get emotional talking about it because like, what a weird concept to think about. I'm supposed to be joyful when I'm going through hard things. Like, how is that? But I think it's just reminding yourself that despite everything, like God is still good. Mm. So I think that those three simple joys that I count every day, Jonah and I, my husband and I, do it every night before we go to bed. It's mm-hmm. become a practice of ours where before we turn out the light and go to sleep for the night, it's like, okay, what were your three simple joys for the day? And some days it's really hard to get yourself to think about those things and to be grateful, but it has been such an important thing for us and probably will continue to be something that we put into practice even after we have kids.
That's incredible. And including your kids in the tradition as well. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Well, do you think that having that practice as well, maybe, you know, going to that next question that I wanted to ask you of like, mm-hmm. if there were times in your walk where you doubted God's existence and that you wanted to like walk away from the faith at all, but since we're talking about this subject, do you think that those joys like help anchor you in your faith? And, or are there some days where joys are hard to find, or you, even if that you do recount the joys, you're like, I just still doubt who mm-hmm. God is.
Yeah. And that's a hard question to ask. Even as I was preparing for our conversation and looking at these questions ahead of time, like, you know, I wouldn't say that I ever doubted who Jesus was. Mm. And I don't doubt what he did for me. But right. like I mentioned before, my faith walk and testimony can't be summed up by just one moment. You know, it's a continual right. practice of surrendering and saying yes, despite all the things that could be going on. And life comes with challenges and seasons and mountaintop experiences and valley moments. And as Christians, even though we say that we believe, we're not promised that everything is going to be great. If anything, it's going to be harder because we have faith in the Lord, and the enemy's going to do whatever he can to distract us and to take our sight away from looking at our Creator and our Redeemer and our Savior. You know, you made the comment about social media and culture, and yeah. I think that's been a recurring thing that I have to kind of be mindful of, because even after I made that conscious decision, like, okay, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay, well, then I graduate from high school and leave all of the knowns and go into the season of unknowns. And, yeah. you know, there's social media and now there's TikTok, and I'm looking at different posts and girls posting their life on like vlog style videos on TikTok. And it's hard mm-hmm. not to let yourself fall back into those moments of comparison. You know, we're surrounded by people every day, and it's hard as me, maybe as other people too, if they struggle with this, but it's hard some days when you're having a rough time or you're struggling with things that day to not walk down the street and say like, oh, I wish I had cute outfits like that girl, or man, if I could be like this fitness influencer and just right. tone up a little bit more, you know, but mm-hmm. that's not where God's called our minds to be. You know, our bodies are a temple, and each of us are so uniquely gifted and made in his image that's just something that we have to be mindful of, is that the enemy is just going to deter us in any way to try to take our minds and our sight off of Jesus. So.
Yeah. As you were talking about like social media and just the comparison that still comes from like TikTok and stuff like that, which let me say now, I am way too addicted to that.
Amen.
I have like a timer, and I, you know, I keep clicking when it times out, you know, I'm like, remind me in 15 minutes, remind me in 15 minutes.
I just keep doing it.
Oh gosh, it's so bad. But going with that, like those ads that pop up, like whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, they're so unrealistic, because there are some of those like horrible ads that say like shed 20 pounds in 2 weeks, or get abs in this amount of time. And like, for me, I like specifically want abs because I just want to get rid of my little belly, and that's, no one can see except for me, but of course it's me and the thoughts that come in my mind. And I'm just like, they, you know, the world really does know how, Satan really knows how to bring you down and make you think the worst of yourself. And if we can remind ourselves, like, as we're having those negative thoughts, like that everyone has those thoughts too. Mm-hmm. Everyone, unless they are a super secure person, has the same kind of feeling of they're not good enough. Like, oh, mm-hmm. if I you know, I'm able to rep this much, or if I'm able to get like a six pack or whatever, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I think that this world is getting to the point where I would hope that hopefully within the next generation, we might be able to revert back from social media a little bit, because we can see the damaging effects of what it can do, which, if, you know, of course, there's also a lot of good stuff that can come from it. Mm-hmm. Us allowing to use the platform, of mm-hmm. course, to share truth in the midst of all of this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyway, that was a side rant and it's over. But I'm just obviously super passionate about, I mean, it's just like, yeah, being a youth group leader, you see so much of this already stemming up and you want to be able to help stop it. And you wish that you could be able to share with these young women mm-hmm. how beautiful they are. Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, anyway, I hope that your testimony, as we continue sharing about this, that other women, as they listen to this, will be encouraged and know mm-hmm. that they can have joy as their strength. But yeah, so would you say, how, I guess, would you say that becoming, like, once you, as you've gone through your life, even in your trials, like, how has becoming a believer shaped your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a great question. It shapes everything. I mean, at the end of the day, it shapes who I am. And first of all, like the decisions that I make, you know, there were, even back in middle school, like I mentioned, there were choices mm-hmm. that I could have made, but I didn't make because it didn't align with what I believed was right. Part of me has to thank my parents for instilling those good morals. But then I also have to credit the fact that, you know, when you're in his word and when you're reading scripture, you kind of, I don't know, those things just become a natural no and then a natural yes to saying mm-hmm. yes to what Jesus has for us. But decisions, even from like my college decision and kind of that sparking a series of yeses that were calling me from the known into the unknown and paving the way for me to step into the calling that he had for my life. I think, like I had mentioned, it's about saying yes to those things that he has for you and being in tune with that. And that's through prayer and through reading the word. Being a Christian shapes how I interact with others and love people. If we have a greater, like the greatest commandment we can read in scripture is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. And, you know, I said at the beginning that I am a lover of people, and it's because I am. Like, no matter what season of life they're in, whatever their beliefs are, especially if they're different than mine, my prayer is just that as I kind of go throughout those conversations and interactions, that they leave that situation feeling more loved than when they walked up to it. Being a Christian shapes how I am a wife to my husband. And how our marriage functions. It shapes how I see the world around me and interact with what's going on in it. It shapes everything.
All right, listeners, the time has come. The time is now. Our new life issue is finished and it has been shipped out. We're so excited for you to see what's in this issue this spring. You'll be listening to our writers' testimonies in this series about their new life in Christ, but you get to read a little bit of that when you order our current magazine. Every team member has written their articles with you in mind to help encourage you to know your true identity in Christ, empower you to use your gifts to glorify God, and equip you to make disciples in your field, all without worry or strife. This magazine is to help you on your path to finding either God's calling on your life or to help spur you on in that calling when you're facing trials. It's also one that doesn't like to shy away from hard topics as other women's magazines might tend to do. We have a couple of special women who are featured in this issue as well, which is just one more reason to buy. Special guest writer Julia Woods writes an excellent piece about what it means to love your husband, and we also have our Deborah Woman featured, Phyllis DeWitt. We talked about her briefly in this episode, but you may also remember her already from our previous episode in our Comfort and Joy series. If you haven't listened, you can now read her testimony in this issue. We have a special offer just for our listeners. Go to our shop and use special code DIS15, that's DIS15, to get 15% off when you order our new life issue or our biannual subscription. Don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today.
That's splendeurmag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now, let's get back to our conversation with Hannah.
Well, you mentioned, like, in terms of you are able to know, like, your life is shaped by being in the Word more and being able to make those decisions based off mm-hmm. of your knowledge of who God is. And would you say that as you got to know more of who God is, that you were able to get to know yourself more and, like, who you are in your identity in Him?
Yeah. And it hasn't been easy. Yeah. I think that when you start to kind of differentiate who God says you are versus who the world says that you're supposed to be, it's kind mm-hmm. of a, I don't know, it's a shift in thinking, because culture and society is deeming this one thing as what's supposed right. to be in and what's going to make you beautiful enough or enough, period, whether you're pretty mm-hmm. enough, smart enough, athletic enough. Mm-hmm. But scripture and the Bible, if you look at it, says that you are enough.
Yeah.
Come as you are. And so as a child of God, I believe that I have been created by the Creator to do good works. And He's the one who defines me and who I am, and mm-hmm. not the world around me. And like I had mentioned in that song, like, he's it. That's all mm-hmm. I should be looking to. He's more than the dreams that I had thought that I had. He's more than the clothing that I feel like I should be buying right, and spending yeah. way too much money on.
Reach it.
he's more than what all of those girls and guys thought of me when I was in middle school. So I think that, yeah, my relationship has definitely allowed me the chance to see who I am. And I keep hearing these discussions and talks. I've just been listening to a couple of different Christian women speakers, mm-hmm. and they're talking about the first time that they became a mom and mm-hmm. how they began to see their children, and how they're like, if this is just a fragment of how much God loves us, like, I can't imagine how vast and how deep, mm-hmm. because it's not just this one child that He's loving. It's all of us, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And loving us all equally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted to continue asking, and I actually want you to be able to kind of go back and think about maybe dreams that you had as a child, and then, like, where you're at now in life, and kind of see, like, if, I mean, I think we can all agree that what we thought we would do or be as a child mm-hmm. is vastly different, you know, even at your age right now, or my age, like, tomorrow is going to look completely different than what we plan. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want you to be able to, like, channel that time when you were 5-year-old little Hannah, what you wanted to do, and, like, how your life with Christ has kind of given you purpose, and how God has, like, shaped your walk, and to be able to go after maybe the dreams on your heart, but how that maybe has shifted, or how God has instilled a deeper desire in your heart to do certain things, and share about that.
Well, if you would have asked 5-year-old Hannah what she wanted to be when she grew up, she would have told you it was a professional ballerina.
Oh, nice.
But I can tell you right now, that is not what I'm doing. No, I think it's been interesting to kind of see how different moments have shaped, like I had said, the walk and the path to get me to where I am today. Like, those intentional decisions that I made, like, when I was thinking about the college that I wanted to go to after high school, I had decided on a career path. I was going to be a child life specialist that would work with kids in hospitals as they were kind of going through their different illness and stuff. And that was based out of the trauma, for lack of a better word, of losing my grandfather and my youth pastor, because I didn't want other families and other kids to feel how I felt. If there was a better way to help them cope and process what was going on, that was kind of the dream that I had. But quickly realized that as I was making my college decision, I started to worry about money and finances and all these different things. And so going through the college application process, you know, I was like, okay, at the end of the day, what's really important to me? Okay, I am going to go to a Christian university because I don't want, and this is just my personal preference, I don't want to go to a school that's just pouring into me academically. You know, I want a well-rounded education with professors and people on campus that are also going to pour into me spiritually and make me just a better person overall, which is how I ended up finding Olivet. And like, shameless plug, look into it. It's great.
Yeah.
But then my freshman year, because I had gone into college with the decision, I think I had kind of made it without really praying about it. I just thought like, oh, well, this must be what I'm supposed to do. This was this important moment in my life. And so I have to pursue a career that's going to change the world based out of that. And I just wasn't really prayerful about it. And so I was really discontent my freshman year, and I struggled a lot because I was in a new place with new people with that whole comparison thing. And you can ask my family. It was kind of a tough time for them to watch me go through because, you know, it was almost like I lost my identity a little bit. Like, I was trying to figure out myself so much that I lost it. But I ended up stepping away for a little bit, and I worked my freshman year summer between freshman sophomore year at a camp. And during that time, I was like, man, I just like miss the moments of connecting with people. You know, I had been camping out at the coffee shop so much and getting to know people. I did some remote work and internships with people in the community. And I just like, I love people. I was the 5-year-old on playgrounds that would walk up to random kids and be like, hey, do you want to be friends? And we would be friends 2 seconds later. And so I just started channeling those thoughts, and I was like, okay, what can I do with this? And I really felt like the Lord was saying, okay, I want you to switch over to public relations, because PR is basically using storytelling and communication and relationship building and networking to help other organizations connect with their audiences and so on and so forth. So I ended up switching to that. And from there, I'd go home still on college breaks, and I would connect with my regular customers as they'd get their morning cup of coffee. I'd get to know them and their stories. And even in my job now, like, I get to meet people and connect with them for different events or articles that I'm doing. And I just, I feel like the Lord is calling me to tell stories. It's kind of something that I feel like he's put on my heart, because I feel like everybody has a story worth telling. And I think that it's even crazy looking back at it, Lydia, you kind of mentioned how you and I met, and it was through a mutual friend, but you had emailed me in, I don't know, it was like 2020, 2021.
And I had
completely missed the email, which is so crazy looking back at it now. But I just think about how crazy God's timing is and how I got started with Splendor, because I realize now it was the perfect timing, perfectly orchestrated for this season, because following graduation, I really began to feel the strong desire not only to do storytelling and communication and relationship building for organizations, but like to specifically inspire, empower, and equip women through that because of the things that I had gone through. And so I wrote it down and began praying about it. And lo and behold, a couple weeks later, I was going through my inbox and I came across your email asking if I wanted to be a part of Splendor. So like, it's just crazy how after setting up that call and realizing that the mission of Splendor was exactly in line with what I was doing, that it was a total God thing. And, you know, when we live in step with what God is speaking to us, and when we surrender our plan to his and pray over these things that we're thinking that we desire and ask him for guidance, it, like, don't be surprised when he says yes and adds to you what you had already been hoping and dreaming for yourself. Like, his plans are immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, as it says in Ephesians. So
No, this is exactly why I wanted to do this new life series and interview different people on my team. It's exactly what you were saying of like, every single person has a testimony and story to share. Even if it feels like you are the most plain Jane kind of person, which I guarantee you, you're not. Like, there were so many people when I moved back home after having done like mission trips and lived in different places, they would make comments saying like, Lydia, your life was so interesting. And I'm like, I just feel like this is like, I'm just following God and where he's leading me. But it's not to say that you can't do the same thing or that your testimony isn't as valuable just because you stayed in a place your whole life. Like, that actually speaks volumes in itself anyway. Like, God has given you that desire to hone in the community that you're in. And I'm thinking of the worship initiative that we have in our Peoria community. If the church has left the building, where they invite anybody who's a believer to come to these worship nights, and members of different churches come together to be a part of this worship team because they want to bring unity. And that's because they've got the desire to see revival happen in their city. I love that for them. I want it also, but that's not like deep rooted in me. But they have that story to share. And because of the stories that different people share with different people, well, at the right timing, I think that it could impact that person and help spur them on, and or realize like the desires that they have are the same ones that maybe you share with them. And, you know, like you're saying, your desire for people's stories, like you and I have that same passion, and there's probably another person who wants to do the same. So it's very evident that God is using you and continuing to use you to use your gifts in that way. One of my questions, I guess, is obviously, you know, like I mentioned before, we don't know what tomorrow's life will never look how we think it will, in the best of ways and also the hardest of ways. But if you were to, you know, knowing a little bit of like your gifts that you have that God has instilled in you, what would you like to see you doing with the gifts that he has for you, and how you can further advance his kingdom?
Good question. I think kind of like what I mentioned before, like the idea of counting those simple joys, that practice, as I mentioned, that's something that I would love to try to pass on to others. Ultimately, like no matter what I'm doing, if I stay in this job for who knows however many years, or if I go on to do something else, if I start speaking at different events, like no matter what kind of happens, I want the people that I meet to feel that. And, you know, people that I have met in the past comment on the fact that I'm always smiling. I had the nickname Happy Hannah for a good long time. But they asked me why I smile all the time. And I just want my answer to always be because of Jesus. And I want to be the reflection of him in all that I say and do. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all of the joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So I guess ultimately, no matter what I end up doing, because I don't know, like you said, I don't know what's coming next and what kind of my next step is. But I guess that my prayer would just be that people would see that overflow.
Yeah. Well, to almost finish off our podcast episode, I know that you know that our podcast is named after Luke 12:27. And as I ask every guest on my show, what is some advice that you would give to someone to be dressed in splendor like the wildflowers of the fields, based on the conversation that we have had tonight or today?
Oh, there's so much. I guess to start, you know, that whole passage in Luke, it's a great passage. If you haven't read that whole chapter in Luke, please do. But that whole passage talks about how we're not to worry. You know, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot as we've been prepping for this conversation and reflecting on my story. But with God as the artist and the creator, he, you know, took his time and gave thought to all the things that we see, you know, from the details of the stars in the sky to the blending of colors in a field of wildflowers. And it's so crazy to think about all of that, because when he was creating it, it was good, you know. But when he created man and woman in his image, it was very good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you, Lydia, and you as the listener were designed and created by God on purpose, for a purpose. Your body, every detail, including the parts that you speculate about in the mirror, your mind, your heart, you know, we're all crafted to be uniquely set apart. You're not going to be the same as the person standing next to you. And there's no one like you. And I think that's just a beautiful thing. And it can be so easy to look around, as we've talked about today, at people on social media and wonder or worry about if we're doing enough to live into the purpose that God's called us to. Mm. And it can be easy to look at what other people are doing and look at what culture deems as in and question whether or not we're enough to fit the mold. But that's not really who we need approval from. Mm-hmm. It says later on in the passage in verse 34 that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Mm-hmm. And, you know, comparison ultimately is the thief of joy, that joy that we've talked about today. Mm-hmm. And so I would just challenge all of us to reflect on where we're seeking our approval from and where we're finding and defining what our purpose is and who that's coming from. As a creation in Christ, dressed in splendor, mm-hmm. may we all see that God, the God-given wonder and the beauty within ourselves, and may we all be deeply rooted in the joy of our Heavenly Father. I think that that's ultimately would be my advice and my hope and prayer for everybody listening to this yeah. podcast, is just that they see the beauty in the creation and that they wouldn't have to worry about everything else around them, because tomorrow ultimately has enough worry for itself. So
yeah. Amen. Thank you for sharing that beautiful piece of advice. Mm. I hope that it will encourage our listeners, and that your story will be shared with many other people as well. I know you said this is your first time before we were starting to record. You said this is your first time being on a podcast. I don't think it mm-hmm. will be your last. but before we end, is there anything else you want to share with our audience? Like any last piece of advice or even just a random fact about you?
No, I think I really love my role here with Splendor and as the Deborah Woman mm-hmm. feature, because like you had mentioned in my little intro that I get to talk to some really awesome powerhouse yeah. women, you know, people will see in the coming issues that there's some really awesome advice that we're getting from mm-hmm. awesome women, even in our own team. Like we have some very powerful and talented women, and our readers are also powerful and talented in what they're doing. But Lydia, when you asked me to share my testimony on the podcast, I was a little not put off, but I was like, oh, wait, why? Like, me? You want me to share my story? But as I've kind of mentioned and kind of learned along the way, we all have a story worth sharing. Yeah. So whatever season you as a listener are in, maybe you're a single mom or a student, maybe you're a newlywed or single. Mm. Lydia, I heard a side tangent. I heard on your social media today that you're writing a book about being content in singleness. Mm-hmm. And I think that's awesome. And you are a Deborah woman because you're sharing your story and your thoughts mm-hmm. and your heart on that. I think that's great. So I would just encourage you and everybody listening that whatever your story is, know that it's valuable and worth sharing with those around you, because it's how we connect and how we learn and how we grow. And it's a way to inspire others. So that would be my advice and last little thought.
Well, thank you for that. And I agree with everything you said. And you know what? Another reason why I think I had mentioned this when we talked with the whole team about being interviewed on the podcast. I know that there are some others who are probably a little nervous about it, but I think it's just also really, really important for people to actually get to know the voice and the face behind the articles, and so that they can just kind of make these people a little bit more real, and also sharing like mm-hmm. our lives haven't been easy, and we're not just the Christianese, like, you know, very mild mannered women, which I think we all are in a sense, but we're also very strong women and want to share mm-hmm. truth. And that's like our biggest priority, is like sharing the gospel and the truth through these mm-hmm. testimonies. And so that's, I think, you know, one of the best things that we can do is just to share who we are authentically, in hopes that other people can see the heart behind what we write, even if in the future, which we all know that there's going to be some controversial stuff coming up. yes, but we're going to stick by it, because we believe that the Lord wants us to share the truth. And so actually, I forgot that I wanted to ask you this question, but since you're on and our spring issue is out, I have the copies as of today. It's being shipped out tomorrow, Lord willing, but a lot sooner than that for those who are listening to this podcast episode, and hopefully you already have it. But Hannah, would you like to share a little bit of a sneak peek of what people can find with your Debra Woman feature article in this issue?
Yeah. So this, for this issue, the spring issue, I got to sit down with Phyllis DeWitt, who is the survivor of years of sexual abuse and trauma. So it's not an easy story to tell, but it's definitely one worth sharing just because she had written a book called I'm Still Standing, and she really is still standing, and it's by the grace of God. And you're just going to have to read the book for yourselves at some point after reading the article, because her story is incredibly powerful. In if you didn't listen to her podcast episode, go back and listen to that, because the joy of the Lord that we talked about today is just so evident in Phyllis and who she is and the work that she's doing now. Like, after going through so many years of hardship, she still found a way to use her past and her history to glorify God now. And she's doing medical missions and so many other incredible things, in addition to being a published author now and speaking at many different events and things. So I would encourage you all, if you haven't gotten your copy of Splendor, to definitely get your hands on it, because it's going to be a good one.
Yeah. I agree. And you know what? If you guys have not purchased, you know that you can get a discount code, which is mentioned earlier in this episode. So during the ad. So I would highly recommend that. And that's where you can save 15% off. Yes, it is a little shameless plug, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I think it's so needed for people to read this story. But before we end, where can people find you, Hannah?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram. I think that's probably where I'm the most active. My username is Hannah_Ruth12.
Awesome.
So I'll be there and hopefully starting some other writing projects soon, but we'll see what the Lord has for me in the next couple of months.
Very cool. Well, I will put that in the show notes, everyone. Hannah, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a joy.
Yeah, and thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
What a testimony. I especially loved Hannah's practice she implements in her everyday life of counting the simple joys, and I'm totally going to steal that. And I hope you will too. Honestly, I hope you enjoy this episode and learned a little bit more about Hannah and her heart for learning the stories of the Debra women she has the honor of sharing with our readers in Splendor. I also hoped that her testimony was able to help others who struggle with body dysmorphia and self-harm to find the strength to ask for help. You are not alone in this, and there are people who can help you. If you find that you don't know whom to run to, I know that Hannah would welcome messages on Instagram from you if you need help. I truly hope that this episode encouraged you in some way, shape, or form. May this podcast further aid you in learning how to be dressed in splendor in your everyday life, no matter what you may go through. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram at Dress in Splendor. If you'd like to give me a follow on Instagram, you can find me at The Lydia Summer. Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review wherever you can. Not for my sake, but that the message of Christ through the powerful testimonies of his children can be shared with all in order for his glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Larekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.